As we continue in the Gospel of John, I want to encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. We're in John chapter 1. We have been for several weeks, and we won't be done with it at the end of today either. Today we look at John the Baptist. And as we read through here, even though this is the Gospel of John, it's the disciple John, and so we don't want to confuse the two. He's talking here, when he mentions John, he's talking about John the Baptist. And John comes and he's preaching a message. There are some things that we can learn from John, and let's take a look at those. I'm going to be reading in chapter 1 the sections that are listed there on your bulletin insert, but also a couple other verses. I'm going to start with verse 1, then I'll do 6 through 8 and 14 and 15, and then go down to 19 and following. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And then verse 14, as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" Then down to verse 19. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." John had a very unique calling, one that we don't share, one that we cannot share, one that no one else had. Very, very unique. First of all, part of his uniqueness was, like other prophets, is that he was sent by God. He knew very clearly it was God who spoke to him. God sent him to do a very specific mission. So we see that in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. John had this special calling. He understood it. It was something that burned within him. And so he sought to fulfill that and obey God's word. Another aspect of the uniqueness is this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. And so he said that he is one, he is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John came proclaiming a message, fulfilling a prophecy that was hundreds of years before. And John came to baptize. God gave him that commission. But it was for a very specific purpose. Verse 31 says, I myself did not know him, referring to Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. But he says, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John had this great privilege of being the herald, proclaiming that Christ was there in their midst. And that is something that no one else had the privilege of doing. So he received that from God. And he baptized people to prepare them for Christ. So this baptism for the repentance of sin. And even as John looked out and he saw the Pharisees, and he saw them as hypocrites, and he called them a brood of vipers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees both, his message was only to point to Jesus. And he wanted to prepare the hearts of people to do that. Then John also had a special understanding of who Jesus would be. How to identify him. And so we see that in verses 32 through 34, where he says that he, referring to God the Father, said that when you see the Spirit come and descend and remain on someone, that is the Messiah. And so John had that very special revelation from God. So we can see John heard the voice of God, had a commission from God that was very specific. We don't share that. We share some other things in common with John, but we receive the benefits of John's message, the preparation that he laid, the identification of Jesus. So that inaugurated Jesus' ministry on earth. But we do share some purpose with John and with all Christians. And that purpose is seen in verse 7, where it says that he, that John the Baptist, came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. We are called as God's people, individually and also corporately as the church, to bear witness to the light, to bear witness that Jesus Christ is that perfect light. He's the light of the world, and in him is life. And that life is in us. And it's something good. It's something that's meant to be shared. And so we are ones who also bear witness to the light, to Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, John begins out by referring to Jesus as first the Word that was with God and the Word that was God, and that he is the light and the life of men. And so it is to this Jesus that we bear witness. Now, verse 8 and then also verses 19 through 21 give us a little bit deeper understanding, a clarification of who we are in relationship to Jesus. And John understood something about Jesus and about himself. And here is someone who was absolutely incredible, this prophet. And he understood that he was not the light. Now, Jesus had something to say about John later on when people were questioning him about who John the Baptist was. And he says, if you're able to receive this, that he was the Elijah. He was the one that was going to proclaim about Jesus. And then he said this in Matthew 11, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." So Jesus is saying, here is someone who is great. No one else has been greater than him that has been born. So he affirms John. John could have had a very elevated view of himself, but he did not. Now Jesus went on to say, "And yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Thus bringing us all on the same level, that in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, we all stand before God and we are equals. Part of our equality is understanding who we are. We are not the light. We come to bear witness to the light. And so when John was questioned, you know, "Are you Elijah? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Who are you?" And for him, he was humble in who he was. He was bold in his message, but in terms of his own personhood, there was a humility to say, "I'm not any of those." John didn't even identify himself as being the Elijah who was to come, the forerunner of the Messiah. Jesus had to do that for him. And so we share that with John, this view of ourselves that there's nothing special. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so all of our life, all of our ministry, all of our witness is simply to point to the light. We become the reflectors of the light of life that is within us. And we're imperfect reflectors. And that's part of our message to share, is that we are imperfect reflectors. And we should reflect then that humility and that perspective. One of the accusations against Christians, against organized church, is that we're hypocrites, that we're holier than thou. And sometimes that might be true, although being holier than thou, self-righteous, however we want to phrase that, is not just limited to Christians or people of faith. It has to do with the condition of the human heart. And our witness should always have the mark of brokenness, humility, a gentleness. There should be nothing of a self-righteousness, a holier-than-thou attitude at all. So that when we share the love of Christ, we're just simply saying, "I'm one who needs grace, and I've received it." And we share that. So our shared purpose with John, we have that. We're to bear witness to the light, and in that we understand who we are. Now we have this common witness about Christ, who he is. So what John identifies here about Jesus is something that we can share. It becomes part of our story as we can share with others how God has impacted us. John, who was great, said that of Jesus, that he ranks higher. And so we see here in verse 15, and it's repeated in verse 30, it says, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me." He ranks higher. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about his ranking, or we could say his majesty, that he is so far above us. We can tell people that we're reflectors of his grace, of his love, his light, but we're imperfect. And the evidence of that is just evident in our lives, but it doesn't mean that Jesus is on the same level as us. He's way above us. And the fact that we can reflect even a little bit through our heart shows how much greater he is because of how muted that light reflects. So Jesus ranks higher than us. And then John goes on to say, he ranks before me because he was before me. Now John, we know from the other Gospels, was older. It's in the Gospel of Luke is the story of John's birth. He's older than Jesus. And John says, he was before me. Why? Because it's what the author of this Gospel had said earlier. That in the beginning, in the very beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. So John the Baptist is saying, this Jesus, he ranks above me because he was before me. He is eternal. He has always existed. He is divine. And so the message that we share is this Jesus is something more than just a man. He is eternal. He is God. And his worth is beyond measure. It is great. In verse 27, where John is saying, I came to baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Now we have to put that into the context of that culture. Now, a desert climate, so dry, it's arid, a lot of dirt and rocks. They wore sandals that had these straps that attached them to their feet. And it was the job of a servant or the role of the one that was considered least to untie the straps of a sandal and then perhaps to wash someone's feet. And John said, I'm not even worthy to bend down and untie the straps of his sandals. This is how great he is. You know, I think of Peter's encounter with Jesus where he falls down before Jesus and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You know, when there's an understanding of who Jesus is, the recognition of his worth, of his holiness, his godness, that we just understand, for us to approach him is an amazing thing to even think about, and that we are certainly not worthy. But what an amazing thing that he calls us to approach him and that he is approachable. But part of our story in that is that we don't deserve to approach Jesus. We're not worthy of it ourselves. But there's good news. And that good news is found in verse 29, where Jesus is coming towards John, and John sees him and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Why that expression? Because the Lamb was a sacrificial animal. And Jesus was to be sacrificed for our sins. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so the gospel is preached right here. Here is Jesus. He is worthy. He is eternal. He takes away sin. Who can take away sin? God. Only God. And Jesus takes away the sins of the world. His sacrifice is effective. And it reaches forward 2,000 years later for us, and it covers our sins. And so behold the Lamb of God. There is God's grace. And we share that grace. We share this amazing message that God sent his Son as a sacrificial lamb to take away our sins, to make us whole, to make us right with him, to make it so that we can approach and be embraced by Jesus. We also have this knowledge from John to share that he is the Son of God, that Jesus, this God in the flesh, the Son of God, he came here to dwell among us, to identify with us, to minister to us, and then to die for us. And so we find here in verse 34, it says, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. You know, we've grown up with this message. We've heard about Jesus being the Son of God again and again and again. And yet think about this from the perspective of people hearing this for the first time. This is the Son of God, God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. It is an amazing thing. And as we share with others and with one another the stories of what God has done to us, how he's worked his forgiveness in us, given us life, how he's walked with us in the midst of difficulty, as we share this, we share this amazing thing about Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. It's not a small thing. It is huge. We talked about that last week, about this incarnation, God being in the flesh. We can't fully grasp it. It's beyond our full understanding, and yet this amazing truth impacts us incredibly. It is life for us. And this Jesus, he is the one that John said will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I myself did not know him, he said, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for us? It means that the life that we have in Christ is here through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He has baptized us. He has given us to us this Holy Spirit. And that enables us to have faith. It enables us each day to maintain, to live a life in Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, without being baptized by the Holy Spirit, receiving this gift of God, we couldn't have faith. We couldn't minister to one another. We couldn't minister in this world in effective ways. And the good news here is that we're not left to our own devices at all. God is with us through the Holy Spirit. So as we seek to be witnesses, as we seek to share the impact of Jesus upon our lives, we have the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave the Spirit to us. We also have here this mention of the Spirit in the Gospel of John. Before, we had the mention of the Word, Jesus, being with the Father, with God, and himself being God. So we had already this image of God, one God existing as Father and Son, and now is introduced here the Holy Spirit. And so we see this more complete picture of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit who dwells within us is God. It gives us life and hope and courage and strength so that we can share with others the message, the same message that John had, that Jesus is light and he is the life that dwells within us. Let's pray. Lord, it is a scary thing to think that you would call us to share who Jesus is with others, but give us boldness. It is an amazing thing as we think about our own lives, and yet it only highlights your grace working through us as we are imperfect reflectors of your light. We would ask that as you give to us opportunities to share hope, to share life, that we would seek the strength of the Holy Spirit, and that we would be able to share how you have touched our lives and how you are the hope of the world. And we pray these things in the name and to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.